Club Park, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSafety.com.
Okay, never tell Pam. And then secondly...
Good, a pact. You all right?
Oh, my God.
Hey, Jim.
Not now, Toby, my God.
Jesus. Get the hell out of here, idiot.
What did I do?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Because you're smart.
CVTS, space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio, stpete.com. Welcome back, folks. How the heck are you? This week on the program, we're talking Et Cultura Festival. That's right. It's this week. It's a big deal here in St. Pete. It is like the South by Southwest, the jewel of the South here in St. Petersburg. It is a interactive music, film, art festival. Check it out at etcultura.com. That's etcultura.com. And we have one of the artists, musicians, music man, Billy Mays III is stopping by. Haven't talked to him in a long time, so it'll be good to talk to him again. I know he's got a new album coming out soon. He's been touring, so I'm sure he's got some good stories for us. But first, before we get into that, and I want to get into it right away. I want to post haste. None of this messing around this week. I want to say thank you very much to our sponsors, Tap House 61. Check out Tap House 61 on Facebook and taphouse61.com. They got a bunch of events happening there. Always great live music happening every week. And you should go. 2061 Central Avenue. You might see me there. And if you do, I'll tell you what. And you say, hey, I heard you on podcast or radio or whatever. And say, buy me a beer. I'll do it. How about that? It's probably going to be a Miller High Life. I'm not going to lie to you. But, you know, it's a free drink. So take it and shut up. All right? So meet me at Tap House 61, and we'll do that. And also thank you to Truvy Salon and Spa, T-R-U-V-Y. V as in Victor. Salonandspa.com. Christy Parker. Doing hairs, nails, whatever you want, dude. Look good. Feel good. 8908 4th Street North here in St. Pete. That's Truvy, T-R-U-V as in Victor, Y, salonandspa.com. Spell it all out. Make an appointment today, and because you need it, all right? That's all I'm going to say. All right, let's talk to Billy Mays III. We're talking Et Cultura. Again, it's November 15th through 19th here in St. Petersburg. It's a fantastic event. There's so much happening. Check out the website if you don't believe me because there's a bunch of different stages. We got lectures, music, art. I mean, it's incredible, and it's pretty cheap. It's like $75 to go for 4 days. So check it out. That's Et Cultura, etcultura.com for info, passes. You can just buy online right there. And let's talk to one of the musicians, my friend, Mr. Billy Mays III, here on the Homemade Broadcast here on RadioSaintPete.com.
I like that, Bill. Billy Mays III, welcome back to the Homemade Broadcast.
Thank you.
I sent you a message about 2 years ago, which was the podcast that we did originally, and it was number like 93, I believe, and this is number 204, I believe.
Wow.
Long time.
Yep.
It's been a wild ride. But so tell me, I mean, I have you on because we're doing the thing with the Et Cultura Festival, and you're one of the artists.
Yep.
That's part of that. How did you get hooked up with them?
Last year, I somehow ended up hosting the stage one day, and doing my mouth council looping thing with the bands and introduced some of the bands and stuff. And it was kind of a, just a slot that I filled in out of nowhere, because they didn't have anyone for that day. And it turned out awesome, and it was super fun. So this year we wanted to do it bigger.
Yeah, is this the second annual
second
festival?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're performing as Infinite Third, though,
at
this one. So how does that differ from Mouth Council?
Mouth Council is a silly, interactive, fun, really fun thing where I'll pass the microphone around and sample everyone's voice on the spot, bring people up from the crowd. And I love doing it, but my true serious performance is Infinite Third. And it's guitar-based. There's a lot of looping still. It's a little bit more atmospheric. It gets a little heavier.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a new album coming out actually right after Ed Cultura, so it was kind of like I wanted to be involved somehow and perform stuff from that album.
So this was crowdfunded too, which is interesting. And when I first saw it, it's got to be tough, like, to ask for that almost. You know what I mean? Because you have to really – and then putting it out there, like, if it bombs and nobody – like, that would be super embarrassing too. So what made you do the crowdfunding as opposed to just, I don't know, doing it the traditional way?
I've been thinking about this album for almost 3 years, and I knew that I wasn't going to do it unless I had more of an investment to put into it, because I've invested so much money into my own music and just slowly sort of made momentum and built up, but this one, I was like, no, I have to do it bigger. So I've planned this Kickstarter out many different ways. I've scrapped it all, brought it back. And on September 1st, I was coming back from tour. On August 1st, actually, I was coming back from a 2-month tour in the East Coast and decided on that tour that I was launching it September 1st, no matter what. And I put together this kind of really carved out budget and said, this is my number, and came up with a plan. And the first week was great of the Kickstarter, and then Hurricane Irma hit.
Right.
And I got super worried, and we evacuated. I went and I did like a half evacuation, like mini tour, where I went and played a festival in West Virginia last minute, and just kind of had a fun weekend, but still worried like everyone was, as you recall. That was a crazy time.
It's on a time limit, right? So if you don't hit your goal, then sorry, it doesn't matter if it's natural disasters or not.
Thankfully, I did 40 days instead of 30 for some reason. They recommend 30, but I wanted that extra 10 days for some reason, and I think that's why. And then the whole, from Irma till the beginning of the final week was really slow, and I was starting to get a little bit worried, but I just kind of pushed through and kept doing what I was doing. And the last week, like, everybody came through, and I didn't have to beg. I didn't feel like, I planned shows for the final week thinking that I was going to be like, guys, this is a rally, we have to do it. But I had already reached it by then, like with 5 days left or something. So it was kind of just a celebration at that point.
Well, it got featured too on the website. Like, they decided it was going to be one of the projects that the Kickstarter people were going to suggest donating.
It's called A Project We Love. Uh-huh. It's like a featured project. Yeah, I mean, who knows? That might have done some good things for it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what was, when you say you wanted it to be different than your other albums and you had a plan and you needed this money to finance it, what makes it different than the other?
Mainly the release aspect. I recorded this still just mostly how I record everything else, which is in my house with just whatever I have gear-wise.
Right. Sure. Yep, I feel you. Yeah, I'm right here with you, brother.
Yeah, so I did it all. I did a few things that I haven't done in the past, which is I went into a really nice studio to record live drums at my friend T.C. Smith's studio in St. Pete here, mm-hmm. called Paper Sound Studios. And he set me up with a really nice drum kit and like 12 amazing mics. And then we recorded 2 nights there. And I just played the drums myself, and he gave me these amazing mixes of drums. So I think you'll be able to tell when you hear the album that that's definitely something that's different about this one. But it gave me a budget for mastering, which sometimes I'll just master things myself, which is kind of that final touch to help with the levels and the EQ and everything. But I sent it off to Arizona to pay a dude who mastered my first album back in 2009, and it was just really nice to have be able to say, like, hey, instead of just asking people, hey, can you do me a favor or whatever,
right.
So how much does it cost? And then people still did me favors, and just, you know, we made up numbers and stuff, but it's been really nice to have a budget.
Sure. I would imagine too, with like you know, when you're putting the final touches, polishing it up, mixing it, that you need to have. Now, you're a musician, obviously, you have an ear for this. I don't.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would imagine you need a special type of person to really fine tune it. Like, a, you know, like sandpapers.
Yeah.
There's different types of sandpapers that kind of polish it. You need that last little one to really tweak it,
yeah.
You think?
It's kind of like he's able to just zoom out from a almost like a cold perspective and just be like, yeah, this album is listenable. No matter what the mixes are doing and what the music's doing, he makes it digestible, you know, as digestible as possible with what he had.
And they're kind of removed from it, so you don't have that, like, I created this. I know what I was going for here. You kind of have somebody who's separate that really wasn't part of it that can be like, nah, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know?
And to be honest, I don't find that he changes much about the flow of the album or it's just more in like these subtle physical things where it's more immersive instead of being more compressed and abrasive, which when I master something, I just think to put a big compressor on it. You might not know what this even means, but it basically crushes everything and makes your high frequencies and low frequencies closer together. And it cuts the top and bottom off just so everything can be louder. And that's what you hear on the radio a lot. And it fatigues your ears. It just pounds your ears and it makes you tired too, to be honest.
I just want to make sure this didn't. I don't know the deal. Like, I record on the iPod, and now I get phone calls on my iPod.
Oh.
It looks like we're still going. Okay.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Freaked me out. I was like, oh, no. So the album's done. So what's now? I mean, there's still work to be done, right?
No, I just put in the order for vinyl records, which was the bulk of the investment. And I put in an order for t-shirts. I gave you a sticker that's from the budget as well. It's kind of just a new branding platform. I'll pretty much have merch for the next 6 to 12 months, depending on how it sells for all my shows and all that. So that's pretty awesome. And it's the people, man. Like the people supported it, and friends and strangers, and a lot of good local companies supported me as well. The Dunedin Brewery.
Really?
Pitched in a lot. And,
oh, that's cool.
One of the tiers on the Kickstarter for rewards, one of the high tiers, was that I would do you'd get everything from the album, but I would do a 30-second pitch video for you or your business.
Yeah.
And it could be a joke or it could be serious or whatever. And a couple of people did it. So Dunedin Brewery is one of them. So we're going to be doing a commercial for them at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And, Symphonic Distribution. You might know them from some of the events that they sponsor and stuff.
They did not Wigfest.
Don't Stop. Yeah. They're an amazing Tampa-based distribution company, and they are supporting my album so much, and it's great. And they handle my distribution, so they're the ones getting it on Spotify and Apple and everything. And so they support it. I'm going to be doing some videos with them as well. So there's a couple other ones too, but. It's a funny thing to be doing pitching, but for that reason,
No doubt. Well, I mean, if you can't tell by the name alone, Billy Mays III is the son of Billy Mays, the legendary pitch man from around here. So that was a pretty cool idea, and people actually took you up on that. To do that.
That's one of them was Kevin Harrington from Shark Tank, who's also a local dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
And he was a friend of my dad's, I guess. And he saw it, and he was like, yeah, let's do a video together. I don't know what it's going to be. We're still talking about it.
Yeah.
I told everyone that January is really when I'll start fulfilling everything because I won't have the records until January.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual release date of the album is November 25th.
Mm-hmm. It's my birthday.
No, I'm sorry. I lied.
Oh.
November 25th was going to be my release party.
Right.
But it's actually the 22nd. November 22nd. But happy birthday on the 25th.
Thanks.
I'll try to remember that.
Yeah, I don't do the. Are you a birthday guy?
It changes every year.
Yeah,
you know.
I kind of feel the same way. I really enjoy my birthday only because I like to get people together that maybe might not hang out.
Yeah,
I can get them together in a room and drink beer and stuff. That's always a good time.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of getting to the age too now where I'm, I don't know, dwindling.
Yeah. No, this year I think I didn't do anything and. I enjoyed the Facebook aspect of it because all these people leave you happy birthdays
that
or whatever.
You never talk to.
But here's my thing on Facebook birthdays. If you're going to do it, if you're going to leave something on someone's wall, don't just say happy birthday or happy birthday in the person's name.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you'll see hundreds of messages. And I only care about the ones that thought of something.
Right.
You know, or have their own. I find that every year some people have their own gimmicks that they do, and I see them posting on other people's walls. But I want something unique, you know, put some effort into it. I'm not trying to be ungrateful.
I understand. Say, no, I wouldn't
just be another one saying happy birthday on someone's wall. If I'm going to say it, I'm going to, like, find you a funny meme or something.
Right.
You
know? Well, my strategy is if I know you and I talk to you, you get a text message or a call.
There you go, yeah.
And then if you're kind of, you know, residual Facebook land person, you get a simple message, which is the letter H, the letter B, the letter D, and an exclamation point.
Yeah, I think you did one of these for me.
I mean, you know, we're buds, but we're not like, you know, we don't hang all the time. Yeah, so you got the, I don't even know if I have your phone number, actually.
Yeah, I don't think you do. We've been Facebook messaging.
Yep.
So I don't know. It that way for now.
Right. So tell me how this tour went. You went all the way up the East Coast.
Yeah.
And I'm always fascinated how bands do this. Because, I mean, usually it's literally calling venues, just looking around on Google and stuff, hey, can I play here this day?
That's what mine are, yeah. It's getting better every year. I get a lot of experience every time. But it really feels like it's starting to be almost profitable and not a whole struggle. But it's really just... What I found that kind of was my new hack for this time around was I specifically reached out to a lot of yoga studios and kind of offered either to do a show or if they have an opening, I would play live music for a class.
Right.
And I wouldn't even ask for money. And if they offer it, they offer it.
Put out a tip jar or something.
Yeah. And it's basically, I have my merch all the time. And then, they'll say like he takes donations or whatever. But I found that the yoga communities in all these towns are really generous and they want to hear your story. And it just so happens I'm traveling with my wife, my new wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, she does yoga. So she gets to do all the classes for free and, sample all these different styles and stuff. So
it's like almost like a retreat of some kind, you know, you both practice your craft,
totally,
you know, and
yeah,
I never really thought about that. That seems like it would go really well. Your music. I don't know how to describe your music. Well, it's like, you know, an ambient, at least the stuff that I've heard, is it almost jazz, electronic jazz, would you call it?
I think it's only jazz in the sense of the approach, maybe, sometimes. Like, it's very freeform, and maybe you use the word experimental, but a lot of it's improvisational in nature. So even stuff on the album is improvisational. Like, I just did it once, and that's how it was. And pretty much all my shows have a huge element of improvisation. Even if I'm playing to a backing track, like the guitar stuff is kind of created on the spot. So
every show is different. I mean, you're never going to really hear the same.
Yeah, no, like, that's also just for me. Like, I don't want to do the same show all the time. Mm-hmm. It gets not boring. It just gets like too comfortable or something.
Yeah.
I don't like to do that with anything. So
repetition, just master it, and then you kind of check out mentally. I would imagine
it's not challenging, and then that actually makes me not engaged with it or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that a lot. So now it's at a point where I don't even practice. I know my shows are my practice. It's really weird.
Is there anything like what kind of happens on stage when you're performing? I don't know, like. Movement, like
it's me sitting on a cushion surrounded by an amp and a speaker and a pedal board and then like another looper pedal and a guitar, and I have one light that just kind of flickers with the music, very simple light,
and it kind of like moves around.
It's like a strip of light that a friend gave me, and I'll probably upgrade this at some point, but I can just point it anywhere and it's a black light until a certain decibel level hits, and then it flashes white with that.
Oh, okay.
So it's fun, and it's like it's almost like lightning or something.
Yeah.
When certain things happen.
Uh huh.
But that's it. I mean, I don't really even like to project things. A lot of people are into like visuals, especially with my kind of music.
Right. Right.
For some reason, I'm not gonna do visuals ever unless it's like really specifically for my set. I'm not just gonna take someone's visuals or even. Just some, you know, you could do a lot of cool things. I'm sure it'd be pleasing to a lot of people. I just kind of want people to have to sit in the room they're in.
You know,
like, it's not like going to a movie. It's not like escapism. I want it to be like it's their time with themselves and with the room, with the people around them, and with me up there doing this weird thing and looking all whatever I look like up there.
Well, with that too, I mean, there's something to be said for that, doing, you know, the light shows and whatever else with the music. but then you kind of bombard your senses, right? And you kind of, it dulls the other things that are going on. And I guess you're trying to concentrate more on just the sound and, you know, what's the goal with your music, do you think?
I think it's, I've always kind of thought that it was about catharsis, emotional, like, release. So, it's not ambient like a lot of stuff is, where it's so relaxing that you fall asleep or something. It's kind of more active, and I try to make it get intense before it gets relaxing again. Like, it has to build. It's always kind of building and falling, and it's kind of breathing like that. And I think that I want people to be able to focus with it, or to, you know, I have any say in it, but I support people doing anything during my shows and my long form shows, even where I play for like 4 hours. I let people, like, once again, not let, they can do whatever they want.
Right.
I encourage people to draw or meditate or do yoga, stretch, or just sit there, you know, do whatever you want. It's just, I find I get a lot of good feedback about people kind of reflecting during it, self-reflection and kind of working out some inner issues that way. So, and that's kind of what I'm doing. So when I play a show, I'm kind of just letting the autopilot happen in a way of, not like the I'm bored autopilot, but the kind of the natural, the intuition of it take over. And then it kind of signifies like a whole other process in my mind that's happening, that I'll find that after a show, I'll forget any problems I had before it, you know, and it's something that, I guess that's catharsis.
You know? Yeah. Would you describe it more as like an internal type of introspection, or kind of looking outwards and kind of getting lost?
I think internal, like, because in the sense that you're kind of left with your own discomfort, or especially when my sets start, they don't just hit you. They're like, they kind of build to it. So if you think it, a lot of people get antsy or something because nothing too flashy happens in the first couple minutes. And I think a lot of people probably experience it as like, oh no, am I going to have to sit here through this? And your mind starts going, and then it's like meditation no matter what. Even if you're not trying to meditate, it invites a meditative kind of approach to listening.
Yeah, right on. So when you went on tour, was it all yoga studios?
No, that was about, it ended up being about 60% of it, but I did a few house shows, a lot of like DIY venues and stuff like that.
Where was the most unique place you played?
Oh man, the one gig that I didn't book myself, my friend Lola booked it for me, because I had her reach out to a few places, but I'm like too picky about how I reach out, so I don't think her way was working as well, because I was trying to control it so much. But she got me this gig in, I want to say it was in Massachusetts, but it was in maybe it was like Rhode Island, I don't know, but it was somewhere, I don't even remember the town. It was like Fall River or River Falls or something like that. And we didn't know much about it. It was called the Heron Yoga Studio or whatever, but it turned out to be on this private land that was just magical. And all these people came to do yoga, and it was just secluded in the middle of nowhere. And it turns out that it's just this lady running it, and
like a commune type of thing?
Not even. It's just her living there, I think, with a dog and like another guy. And it turns out that it was some guy's like dying project. He died and left this to her.
Oh, wow.
And left enough of a business around it that it kind of sustains itself. And she just has to take care of it and take care of the garden and all this stuff. And it was just, we just needed it after, I think we were coming from Boston, which was very city, and and then we went to this place, and there were a couple of those times. That's what sticks out to me, is the times where we went somewhere that was just totally unexpected in a small place, and they just had these amazing people just welcoming us.
Where are you living now? Are you in St. Pete?
St. Pete, yeah. A couple blocks from here.
Can you do the, do you want to live in the city? Because you seem like more of a...
Yeah, I'm actually fine with it. I like the city.
This one's toned down, too. It's not like Boston or something that. Yeah. You know, this is kind of like a little small
I like this
town,
city. I don't think I like it as much until I come back sometimes.
Right.
So we plan to tour every year.
Did you ever go to the West Coast?
That's next year. We're planning for May and June and some of July to do the West Coast. I'm going to do the same thing. I may work with a booking agent this time just to make it easier on you, yeah. And a little bit, maybe they'll reach above what I can just reach out to on my own.
Yeah.
But a lot of that'll have to do with how this album does and how the press around it handles it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, see who I'll be able to work with afterwards.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, the tour. I mean, did you have any horror stories from the road? Those are always fun.
Thankfully, they're not popping up in my mind, so they must not have been that bad. But I think there's just
no equipment stolen. No.
There's a lot of fatigue.
Lunatics.
A lot of fatigue that happens on tour that kind of has to do with being with, you know, in a relationship and on a tour with only that person.
Have you ever taken a road trip before? Before you married her?
Yeah, we traveled a couple times, and
that's a
But living in the car pretty much and couch surfing for 2 months, it's just inevitable. Like we just have to process a lot of things, and it's all really good. Like you come out of it and you think, wow, we've grown so much in these 2 months.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just hard to be in a car with someone that just
anybody.
Yeah, with anyone.
I mean, even yourself.
But with your most intimate person that like naturally sometimes triggers you because they're there to do that.
Right.
You know? It's a weird thing. But no, honestly, it's the best though, traveling with my wife. It's mm-hmm. like we're easier to, we can sleep in one bed, you know, it's that kind of thing. And then also, because we're married now, we can share a bed.
Oh, nice. Perks of the job. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
But she works freelance in graphic design and stuff, and she's always making art on the road, and then she kind of helps out with the merch and everything, so it's kind of a good
thing. How old are you?
I'm 31.
31, okay. Yeah. That's fine. Then get married.
That's fine. You'll allow it.
How did you – I mean, I didn't even know yet. Well, like again, I don't see you all the time, but I didn't even know you had a girlfriend. All of a sudden, I saw pictures. You're getting married. I was like, oh, my God. That's awesome.
It was kind of out of nowhere. I think when
– How long were you together?
I think the last time we saw each other was right around when I met her.
At the coffee shop?
No, last time we did one of these.
Okay. A couple years ago.
Two years ago, 2.5. We've been together almost 3 years now.
Oh, okay.
But
I kind of thought this was like, I knew her 2 weeks, and I knew she was the one.
But we kind of did do that. I mean, it was, I just knew after a couple of bad relationships, you kind of just are ready to, for the right thing.
I feel it.
And you probably think some of them before that are the right thing, and that's why you get devastated or whatever. But no, this one's different. We're kind of like on the same page about what we want, and she's an artist, amazing artist, and she's just like crushing it right now, and she does all my branding anyway, most of it, so, you know, that's a huge bonus.
Mm-hmm. And she went with you throughout the whole tour.
Yeah, and then we're doing this West Coast thing. And
when are you shooting for that? When do you think?
May, June, July, something like that.
Next year, and this will be in support of the album. Channels is the album.
Yeah, Channels, pretty much, I mean, everything's kind of in support of the album. I think it's just – the funny thing about the album is it doesn't really sound like the stuff I do for yoga, or it doesn't always sound like my set sounds. It's like I said, it kind of feels like a full band sometimes, the album. But I kind of wanted that. I wanted it to be like kind of a step up. And in the future, I'll probably play with some drummer or a bassist.
That's what I was going to ask. You said you recorded drums, so how do you incorporate that?
Right now, it's like a backing track almost, where there's electronic beats in it too, so it kind of makes sense. And the guitar's all live when I play live. But someday I'll definitely have a full band experience of Infinite Third. But there's something I really like about playing alone as well.
Yeah.
Not
only that, I mean, playing alone is great. It's, you know, cathartic, like you were saying, but you don't have to freaking depend on anybody.
Exactly.
That's one of every band that comes in here, I'm like, I'm amazed that you people can stay on the right track, because musicians are they're artsy people. They're heads in the clouds, and then you get girlfriends that come along and whatever. But when we've been together for 5 years, we still play. I'm like, that is amazing that you all are able to make that happen like that. I can't keep a podcast host or a co-host, you know. It's like, that's why I do this on my own, because I don't want to deal with anybody else.
No, I've been developing this kind of interdependent stance on working with anyone. And that's even like, that's why I think a marriage works too, is if you're just not codependent and, you know, kind of support each other's freedom. But I think that goes for any relationship. And especially with my music friends, I have so many talented local music friends, but the ones that I find I really resonate with and that I can see us working together easily and we kind of are growing parallel are the ones that kind of do their own thing. But we also talk and we
collaborate with each other.
Collaborate and we talk about, I'll share all the insight on the album release process, and, you know, and it's kind of the whole collective thing we have, the Remember Your Dreaming thing, is kind of made for that. It's like, you're not, when you're part of it, you're not like signed to it. You're just kind of like in the orbit of it.
Yeah, tell me more about that. The Remember You. That's another project.
We just kind of called it a collective for a while. Where
is it? The Facebook group?
No. It's that website you're on right there. It's rememberyouaredreaming.com. We call it Riad, and it's kind of just. I think it'll grow into some sort of label hybrid thing. But right now, it's what we're pushing channels through right now, and. Dia and Saint's new album, who's a local group.
Yeah, sure.
Their album's coming out next year, so we're working on that. My wife's doing their album art and everything like that, and I'm kind of consulting on the release process. But this channels thing is kind of the proof of concept for how we're going to move forward mm-hmm. with that kind of thing. And band like Dia and Saint is amazing because they're kind of just – they have this vision on their own, but they see why we should all – team up and work together and stuff. So it's not like I have to hold their hand through the process and chase them down and say, hey, we need those mixes or whatever. They're just kind of doing it. And there's something really valuable about that. Cause I don't think an artist that has to be like pushed through their own dreams should be allowed to make it.
Dude, you know? I've been doing that. Every co-host that I've had for this thing, even it's a chore to get them here. And I'm like, you know what? I got this one dude, Zach, who's a buddy of mine, mm-hmm. and he comes through maybe once a month now and hangs out.
Zach, cool. Who is it?
Townsend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cool. So he lives here now, but and then my old roommate. Did you ever meet my old roommate, Adam?
I don't think so.
He was like the co-host for when I first started this.
Oh, maybe.
And then he had a baby or whatever, but it was just... I felt like I was his dad.
Yeah.
Man. Like scolding him for not being here. You know, we're doing this. And that wasn't what he wanted to do.
Yeah.
He wanted to not do this. I mean, he was doing it because, it's kind of fun. But once it started to kind of blossom into a weekly thing and it was on a schedule and it started to pick up steam, I'm trying to make him do my dream, what I'm trying to do. And that just never works right.
No, exactly. That's the point is there are people who believe in what I do, but the only ones that are really involved see a reason to be involved. I'm not like begging people to be involved. And I've had to learn about that through working with a lot of people and stuff. And
well, it makes you stronger too, just working on your own. You don't have anybody to rely on. Yeah. You're self-sufficient. You're ready to go. And then when you do, it just feels way more natural. You kind of get to relax almost a little bit, you know, when you have somebody there.
So I hope the function of Riad is that it'll kind of just be like this kind of home for people to just kind of blast off out of, you know, if they want. And you know, there's always like the more loose ways to just collaborate on a video or something like that, which I've done a lot.
So what are some of the features on the site where people could
Right now it's very simple. It's like you can check out the artists there on the bottom. You can check out the content button, which is just all the original content we've made, which are a lot of videos basically of
like music videos,
poetry, music, live music, stuff like that. And they're all kind of just weird experimental things. And there's some things we call bumpers where I've just had people, it loads. It's all embedded.
Yeah, my computer's old.
But yeah, all those little visual things, like my wife makes a lot of those. We just kind of like are kind of defining the aesthetic of it. And, we've had some great like spoken word things come through that were just kind of random occurrences. And a lot of times it's just seeing what someone does and be like, hey, you should do a video with us or for us or whatever. But in the future, I think it'll blossom to being more formal series and videos and stuff like that. But
what would you, what piece of advice would you give to a musician who's producing their own stuff that's thinking about either doing what you did, following doing the Kickstarter thing, or just in general, how to complete an album?
Man, completing an album, I think, is more of a spiritual, philosophical thing.
Well, I know a lot of musicians, and they have this content, and they're pushing out content constantly, but they can't get to the point to just let it go and say, this is it.
No, it's almost like I've been too good at that in the past, where I've pumped out things, and I've always wanted to move on to the next thing, because the next one's going to be so much better, because I learned from it. So I'll just stop it there. But this one was kind of the product of the balance between moving on quickly to the next thing, but also taking my time and finishing this one the best it can possibly be.
Right.
So I mean, I think when someone wants to really finish something, yeah, a lot of people will just kind of finish, never even get to start because they're just like, they don't even know where to begin. And that's what I see a lot of.
I know, me too. So, I mean, I feel like the answer is easy, which is just let it go.
No, because there's also that whole thing of just letting something out there and it's gone.
And it's bad. Then, well, yeah, not well, yeah, only that, but it might
just,
not be
it's
good.
It's just incomplete, or you can work on something forever, but I think it's more like, it's more of a personal thing for an artist to really finish something. The problem I see, and this is something that was brought up in a Q&A I just did less than 2 weeks ago at a middle school kind of nonprofit music thing. And the director of the whole nonprofit asked the question and said, it looks like you're kind of branding everything. And how do you, a lot of artists don't want to do that and don't have that mind for it. And I kind of went into this thing about, to me, it's become the same thing. I don't want to separate it and say that business is bad because I'm not doing business and it's just dollar signs and stuff like that. I'm kind of doing it intuitively and artistically. And the whole time I've been writing this album music-wise, I've been simultaneously planning the logistics of it as artistically as I can. And I'm putting all these, you know, Easter eggs in the album. There's a lot of weird coded messages and stuff, and that's all part of the marketing as well. So to me, I just didn't separate it at all. I'm not saying someone else is handling the marketing or whatever. It's just all part of the album is how people are going to experience, how they're going to get to it, what the album's going to look like, you know.
Are you afraid of success?
Am I afraid of success?
Meaning, if this blew up, would you be freaked out and you started making money?
I'm so ready now. Yeah. I think I've been afraid. My first album was 8 years ago, and I think since then, I've like wanted this to get bigger and bigger, but I've been afraid that I'm not ready for it. And then this album is kind of the proof that I'm ready for the next big step. This is a big step, and then I'm ready for the next one. And also, I'm not trying to blow up in like a viral sense. That's all cool, but
meaning you want to resonate and stay, not just a
And all the artists that I respect that I've gotten to talk to kind of share the same thing, that their rise was more sustainable because it was a slow build and nobody was exposed to them too hard. And then there was a backlash or something like that, you know?
Right.
So where
do you see yourself? Like ideally, if everything goes according to plan, you know, that never happens, of course, but where would you see yourself maybe this time 2 years from now?
2 years from now?
2 years.
I think I'm doing the same thing. I'm probably putting out, I'll probably be releasing the next official full-length album by then, I would say.
Do you want to do, like, some comedians will do a special a year? Do you want to
I do. I have so much other different content besides an album to put out, like live recordings that I really focus on.
And so maybe a big project a year?
Yeah, like, I think the funny thing is, like, with this album, there's so much material. The album's only 40 minutes long, and I wanted to keep it that way, like, brief and to the point.
Oh, under an hour is the way to go. Yeah,
but there's a companion album that's got like an epilogue that let me kind of do the ambient drone stuff that I wanted to do beyond it. And that's something that I gave away to every Kickstarter backer. Well, I haven't given it away yet, but I promised it to every Kickstarter backer is that they're going to get this exclusive epilogue album, which is called Listening. And it's almost done. I'm thinking I'm going to give it to everyone on New Year's. I haven't really set a date, like on January 1st. But so seeing how that is, there's always more content that stems from the last thing. There's a remix album potentially that could happen, videos, live sessions, my ambient installation series. Mm-hmm. I'll continue doing that and live streaming. I really want to live stream a lot more and at specific times and in different ways and get more and more high quality with it. I want to live stream from weird places like volcanoes and stuff like that.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Oh yeah. So yeah. You put out a book of poetry.
Yeah. I put out a book, about a year ago.
It's on Amazon.
It's called Impersonal Verses. That was pretty cool. That was really fun. And I feel like it was a precursor to this album somehow, in that I never thought I'd write a book, and then I wrote one.
Now, do you work on that stuff, like, I'm going to do my poetry book now, or are you working on the music and the poetry?
Well, Channels has its own poem that I wrote. It's the only poem I've wrote since my book came out, and it kind of represents the word version of this album. It has, like, I don't know if anyone can relate to this that's listening, but I have all these kind of inside jokes and inner mythology about it. I don't want to say mythology, like symbolism. And it's all kind of like this weird cult symbolism that I have in my in my mind that only I recognize, like the length of the songs and the way the titles work and the poem that goes with it. I put some Morse code in the album, you know, and some reverse voices and stuff like that. And there's just a lot of things that people will never find about it that kind of keeps me interested in it. So,
yeah,
it's kind of funny, dude.
Lots going on, man. Well, dang, I'm glad you came in because I had to, you know, I knew about the album and everything, but I didn't realize all this that was going on.
Yeah.
So
it's a good time. At Kultura is,
Yeah, when do you play at Kultura? When is that?
Saturday, November 18th.
November 18th, and you're at Janus, right?
I get to play Janus for the first time, which I'm super excited about. And I'm playing right before Slow Dive, which is, I would say, one of the headliners of the festival, and it's kind of a, I don't even know if they'll ever play in Florida again, or, you know, this is kind of just
Sunvolt's the headliner for that one. That's Jeff Tweedy's band. Is that Jeff Tweedy's band?
I'm not sure, but I've heard a lot of good things.
I think it is. From Uncle Tupelo.
The Hip Abduction is playing, Waxahachie. Locally, there's D.N. Saint, my good friends I was talking about.
Yep.
Roger Thomas, Queen of X, Mike Mass.
All right, you got to hook me up with some of these people ASAP so I can get some of these interviews done. I kind of dropped the ball. I didn't realize it was this close. It's November 15th through 19th.
Yeah.
You can buy passes at Etcultura. That's Etcultura.com. $75, 5-day event. There's music. There's art. There's film. I mean, they're trying to turn this into a little South by Southwest festival.
Wait, I can announce one more thing that I'm doing at Etcultura, which I just confirmed. Is a free yoga class that I'm playing music for on Sunday outside by Green Bench.
Mm-hmm. On the lawn out there?
On the main stage, yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's for the Body Electric. They're putting it together, and they asked me to do music, and it's a free class. It's open to the public, and I'll be playing on the stage with some really good sound, I'm sure.
So, do you have to have a pass to go to that
event?
I don't think so.
I think it's open
to
the public.
It's just an open thing?
Yeah, because that whole section of the festival, there's a market and stuff over there by Green Bench, is supposed to be open to the public. So
yeah, right on.
It's just you need the wristband to go see the big shows and all that.
Right, right.
And some of the films and the interactive talks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
where can people find you? Pre-order the album, all that stuff. Where's a good place?
Music.infinitethird.com to get the album. Twitter at infinitethird. Facebook infinitethird. THIRD. Spell it out.
Sweet.
That's it.
Billy.
It's pretty easy to
Billy
find.
Mays the Third. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. There's Billy Mays the Third. Thank you, Bill, for stopping by. Always a pleasure to talk to you. Busy guy, man. Check him out at rememberyouaredreaming.com and see him at Etcultura coming up this week here in St. Pete. Visit Etcultura, Etcultura.com for tickets. It's going to be a great event. And if you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is coming up next. Indie Circuit following that. If you're listening on podcast, get on with your life. I'll talk to you next week. This is HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. My name is Will Kuntz. This is Billy Mays III playing us out. Bye-bye.